Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
SecondCityHockey.com.
Jonathan Toews.
Commit to us. Commit to the jersey. Commit to our people here.
Welcome into another episode of Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dave Melton, the site manager for Second City Hockey. And with me, of course, is the usual trio. So quartet overall, I almost said usual quartet, but, you know, math, it's hard. It's been a week already. But with me, of course, is the analytics darling of Second City Hockey, Shepard Price.
Hi, I'm the stat drop and a crop top who runs nonstop.
Ooh, almost at the landing.
Almost.
Yeah, you took about, I think we're going to have to do like a half point deduction for that, but not bad. Not bad overall.
I had such a delayed laugh reaction to that, Shepard. It took me a second to understand what you said.
I was waiting to see. I thought you were going to go for like 7, 8, 9 words. I hope you have them all written down because there's no way I could do that otherwise.
No, I just had it in my head after cooking dinner.
That's why we pay him the big bucks, folks. That's why he's here. Also with us this evening, he is the Second City Hockey, what Jim Adkins is to Jimmy World. It is Mil Savage.
Oh, that's a great one. That's maybe I don't even have an opening monologue. I love Jimmy World, though.
I was in my car for 2 hours today driving around for work things and had Jimmy on the whole time, and it was great. And I will put it, and I'll put it out to this group because they're in this age group. I think anyone between the ages of roughly 25 to 45 right now knows at least one song from Jimmy Eat World by heart. It's probably the middle.
I think it's because of Guitar Hero.
I took someone to a show and Jimmy Eat World was on the bill, and they're like, yeah, I know the one song. And they're like, oh, I knew 10 of these. I just didn't know it was them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So they're that kind of band.
Betsy, do you also know?
Jimmy Eat World was the opening act for the first concert I ever went to, which was Green Day.
Nice. Was it with Blink?
Yeah, actually, I think so.
Pop Disaster 2002.
Yeah, so.
And Saves the Day was probably on some of those. Sorry, I'm going to shut up now.
You're fine. Totally fine. I'm always here for our music minutes. And the overall point of this is just that if you meet someone and they say they don't like Jimmy Eat World, there's probably something wrong with that person. They're just, everybody likes him at least a little bit. Just I have, that is the one band, if I text friends, like, everybody likes them. So I'm gonna hold to that statement. But also with us this evening, and we should probably bring her in now, because you've already heard her talk a little bit, but she is the Boolean wall of text for Second City Hockey. It is Betsy.
It like heard me laugh mostly. So I'm like, I don't know what's happening, but I'm very giggly tonight.
Maybe it's from all the 6,000 words that you've written in the last 2 days.
Also, I popped, allergy medicine, like, not that long ago.
This is going to be a lot of fun this evening, is what you're saying.
And I was going to note, technically, I went to a Hanson, like, it wasn't a concert. It was, like, like a small gathering thing. That was technically the first big show I had ever gone to as a kid. Then it was Green Day and Jimmy World was opening.
What exactly, like, were they like playing at the mall? Like, how did
it was at like a fair?
That's still a concert.
I think it counts.
I guess there weren't as many people as I thought there would be, and I got tickets because I answered trivia on a like radio call in radio.
Nice. So
my sister was like, "Let's do it."
Like, okay. Where Dave and I live, like, there's a big we have fairgrounds out here, and they'll have like sometimes older acts that are somewhat still popular come play. So I kind of have an idea of what you're referencing. I think.
Yeah.
I've been to fair concerts, like really big ones, and this wasn't that. I remember being like short and because I was a kid and not being able to see, and like people were very like, "Oh, do you want to go to the front?" And I was like, "Yes, please, thank you." You know,
was this when they were popular, like in the 90s?
It was right before they like really broke. Like, they're
right before
Oom Pop had just got onto the radio.
Okay.
Oh, well, then there you go. That's why there wasn't a ton. I mean, once they blew up, it was like game over. But
oh no, and I never could get tickets again. And also, my sister wouldn't go with me because she was too cool for that at that point. So, yeah.
I think we're just going to do music podcasts in the off season. We're going to become a music blog once the
why I already do that.
All right. Well,
Milton, my only contribution is talking about how much I wish I went to Taylor Swift tours.
Oh my God, Taylor Swift, several times.
I'll give us a segue. I think it was Hawks Convention 2015 because I used to work at all the conventions. The last day was Sunday, and I was trying to get out of traffic. And Taylor Swift was playing at Soldier Field, so I got stuck there for like 2 hours.
Were you able to hear the concert? Because if so, that's not a regrettable experience.
No, like, she wasn't playing yet. It was just like people trying to get, because Lakeshore Drive is a total shit show.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to try and make the awkward Taylor Swift to Second City Hockey segue, and I'm just going to fall off it, so never mind. But yeah. SecondCityHockey.com is where you can find all of our content. I'm on Twitter at _DaveMelton. Shepherd's at just at Shepherd Price. Mill is at Mill182. Betsy's not on Twitter, but you can read all her stuff. She's LBR at Second City Hockey. And she had, again, like 6,000 words of Young Gun reports from the last 2 days that if you want to know anything about any of the Blackhawks players who are 25 and under, it is there. And they are very well done and very lengthy and very informative. So all of it is to say, again, and I think our mantra now from all of that, Betsy, is play Phil Kurashev more minutes.
I know. I wanted to end that with my battle cry is play Phil Kurashev more minutes.
And if you want to know anything about Hawks players who are former Hawks players that are 45 and over, you could probably ask me and Dave.
Also painfully accurate. Like when they were talking, I think it was for Kane's 1,000th game, I tweeted out that night that I went back to the roster or the lineup from his first game, and Robert Lang was in the lineup that night. He's now 50 years old.
Well, actually, at that time, Chris Chelios was in the NHL, and he was getting to 50.
Yeah, so.
So what does that say?
Well, it means our hockey careers are still ahead of us, Mel. That's what it means.
I'm going to be like Bombay, 29, and a short step away from the NHL.
Speaking of guys that were a little bit on the wrong side of 30, the Blackhawks trade deadline, there's your segue, folks. The Blackhawks trade deadline featured trading a lot of older gentlemen away from the team that they no longer had. And we want to do a quick recap on all of this because there was a lot that went on that day. I think we all thought the Hawks were going to be quieter, but I guess what we didn't realize is like the trades were fairly quiet, but there were still a lot of them. So they started off by trading Matthew Highmore to the Canucks for Adam Gaudette. Adam Gaudette, who famously, I believe he wasn't he on the line with Dylan Sakura at Northeastern?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Gaudette won the Hobie Baker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember that being the knock on Sakura is that, he was just riding the coattails of Adam Gaudette. So now it's interesting that, you know, time's a flat circle and all that. So then after that, the Hawks sent Matthias Janmark to Shepherd's Golden Knights and got a second and third round pick in return. There was some three-way deal involving San Jose. All that matters is Matthias Janmark went to Vegas, and the Hawks got a second and a third in return. Then the Hawks traded Carl Soderberg to the Avalanche for Josh Dickinson and Ryder Rolston. Josh Dickinson, probably an AHL, ECHL guy. I wouldn't put too much stock into him. Ryder Rolston is the one you probably want to know about that one. He is, I think, 19 years old and is the son of former NHLer Brian Rolston. So if that means anything to you, and Ryder Rolston is also playing at Notre Dame because Stan Bowman saw a guy was available who went to Notre Dame and had to acquire him.
Cute guy alert.
What'd you say?
Cute guy alert. Cute automatically think of the new girl. Cute guy alert. Okay. Every time now.
Is that the show with the douche jar?
Yes, it is.
We had that at my store because of that show. I used to find people.
Great. The best thing about that show is Nick Mill. I think Jake Johnson's his actual name.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. And he's from Chicago. So his character in that show, Nick Miller, makes significant Chicago references throughout the entire series. And it's delightful. It's also like from like the time when Jay Cutler was the Bears quarterback and we thought he might be good. And it was fun to remember that time briefly.
In the last season, he has a framed Mitch Trubisky.
Yes, he does. Jersey. Yes, he does.
I have to get on this show. I'm behind. I'm sorry.
It's a good one. And then, oh yeah, the Blackhawks, they also traded Madison Bowie to Vancouver for a fourth round pick. They packaged Madison Bowie and a fifth round pick and turned that into a fourth round pick. And that was kind of a shrug of the shoulders. Like you almost forgot Madison Bowie was on the team. And then afterwards, Stan Bowman met the media and said he was happy with the Blackhawks move because, well, that's what he's going to say because he made all those moves. So hopefully he's happy with them. And then that was it. So it was an eventful day. And then if you also, you know, track back, they also traded for Brett Connolly, Riley Stillman, and Henrik Borgstrom and Vinny Hinostroza from the Panthers, trading away Lucas Carlson, Lucas Walmark, and an ECHL guy, Brad Morrison. That was the guy they traded to get Hinostroza. So there's been a lot of moving parts over the last 2 weeks. So before we get ahead to the rest of the season, we just want to take a moment here and just kind of look back and all that. And Shepard, I'll go to you first. Just what is your overall feeling about everything that's happened with the Blackhawks' flurry of trade activity in the last week?
Dan Bowman hates fifth round picks because he traded two of them. This because he also traded a fifth with Matthias Janmark. So he hates fifth round picks. I wonder who's recently been drafted in the fifth round for the Blackhawks to sort of ruin it for him.
Isaac Phillips.
Isaac Phillips is good. So I don't know if it's
okay.
That,
well, 2019 like, they didn't have one. 2018 yeah. Mikhail Hakkarainen.
Yeah, I blame Hakkarainen.
2017 Parker Fu and Jacob Galvis, who I don't think are ever going to be NHLers. Mm-hmm. 2016 was Matthias Fromm.
All of them are. Who cares? Yeah,
it's getting pretty ugly for the fifth. I'm trying to find a guy from the fifth round that made it. Oh, here we go. 2013, Luke Johnson played 31 NHL games.
Suckbag Johnson.
And just scored his first career NHL goal, if I remember correctly. So, the fifth round's not good for the Hawks. You have to go back to Andrew Shaw in 2011 to find a good one.
So, Bowman realized he got his good one in like the decade with Phillips and is like, okay, we don't need a fifth round pick for the next decade.
Yeah. Shaw 2011, Phillips in 2021. Yeah. Get rid of it for the rest of the decade. Good. Yeah. I like it. Works for me.
But like besides hating fifth round picks, like it's a decent, they did the things they needed to do. They cast off all of the expiring contracts they signed in the offseason. And got younger. And while Brett Connolly is probably going to eat the same amount of minutes that Matthias Janmark was eating, and still limiting Philip Kurashev, I don't mind Connolly as much as I minded Janmark, because Connolly has had in the past success, and he's been like a 20-goal, 30-goal guy as a bottom six guy. He can do good things. We saw that in his first game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind the moves.
The good thing with Connolly, at least, is that like it is kind of annoying that he's under contract for 2 years, but it's only $3.5 million, so it's not something that's gonna completely hamstring you from a financial situation. It's not. I mean, it's you know, if he completely bottoms out here, it's not great. But if he's decent for $3.5 million, that's not a horrible value.
Yeah, that's like half of the Brent Seabrook money.
Exactly. It's only two more years, not six.
And while Riley Stillman kind of looked bad the first night he was on ice for two goals against, like, give him some time, but like at the same time, don't give him a lot of chances because you have a lot of defensemen coming up behind him.
Right. Mill, what about you? What were your thoughts on all of the shenanigans of the last week?
You know, I'm really happy that they, even though they're in a playoff hunt, didn't do anything unrealistic and like pretend to be buyers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little scary around this time because, you know, in the past, the Hawks have done that a few times. And they also weren't too crazy and didn't sell off anything really, really important that we think. So there's a couple more moves I think that I would like to see them make. Nothing huge. But honestly, you know, getting rid of Janmark, it's like Connolly kind of slides into that wing spot. And if he can score 10 or 15 goals a year, you know, that's fine. He's going to be playing with good centers. He's got an okay shot. The only thing is I'm really pissed off they gave him 20. That's personal, but, you know, slap in the face.
Well, you and me both, bud.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, you know, I mean, just overall, just I think that they did the right things at, for this really awkward particular scenario that they're in.
Betsy, what about you?
Yeah, I think it was a good draft purely for the Janmark trade because, I mean, those were players, him and Soderberg were players that were free money. You know, it was like playing with Monopoly money that they turned into lottery picks, essentially, you know. And all the other players that came back, Adam Gaudette is a shrug player. He's terrible defensively, so I'm not really super excited about getting more poor defensive players. He's not great at the center role. They keep saying he's a center, but is he? they have other options. Let's just, Kershaw is there. And Borgstrom, it just depends on which one shows up. You know, like, is it going to be the guy that the last guy Finland right now? I don't know. And then Stillman, yeah, he had like a Jekyll and Hyde game. I thought he settled down in the game.
Towards the end, for sure.
Yeah, he had some, it has to be a pacing thing because his like gap control was wild in the first period. The guy was like, what is he doing? But I didn't see that as a glaring thing by the third. So, you know, maybe he just needs to get his sea legs. But yeah, I mean, they took nothing players and shoved them out for different players. You know, they shuffled the deck. Maybe they can help. Maybe they can't. Maybe they'll be good in the future. But all you're looking for is to restock that and hope for the best. And they did what they were supposed to do. So I think it's a solid, solid thing. Would you?
I think the biggest thing that I picked up from, it seemed like the Hawks learned from the mistake that they made in the past of when they held on to Eric Gustafson too long, and they might have been able to get him like a first round pick for him, and then they ended up only getting I think a third. And then, by the way, the Flyers just traded him for a seventh, which I thought was
He blows now.
He's had a well,
he's always blown.
No, he's always been blown.
But he had a 60-point season. Like, everything is shit right now, though. Like,
it was inflated by the
okay.
No, like he's always been sucky, I just mean the Hawks hit it well.
Okay, well he was. Proper utilization, and you're saying if you deploy a player in a certain way, it might maximize his abilities. Is that what you're suggesting to me? But
yeah,
but it was
Philadelphia. Like, I don't think Philadelphia knows how to do that. Look at Shane Gostisbehere. Fair.
Yeah, but getting back to the point of, I think they like Janmark was kind of the guy that I was worried about. I thought they were going to try and hold on to him and say, you know, maybe try and figure out if he's a future piece or not. He seemed like he was right on. He was a tweener of. Not quite good enough to be in your top six, probably more of a middle six guy. And like he was going to be due for another contract in the offseason. So I was worried that if he re-signed another contract, it was going to be like 3 to 4 years at a price he wasn't going to be able to play up to. And the Hawks are going to be screwed having him on the books. So I was very relieved when that guy got traded. Soderberg, like everybody else who was on expiring 1 year deals, like it was, if you get anything back for him, cool. Like Soderberg and Bowie and Highmore, like, you're not trading a pieces, so you're not going to get a returns. But I think the word Mill said at some point, it was fine. That was overall. Like it was a busy day because they made so many trades, but other than that, it was fine. I have no complaints.
It's a solid B.
So yeah, solid B. And you were probably grading on a curve because they didn't really have, unless you like blind, some GM just decides to do something really stupid. Like, I don't know where Chiarelli is these days, but they didn't have a trade. You know, I don't know if there was a Matt Ellison for Patrick Sharp trade that happened last week, but.
I think too, if you look at this roster, like there's not, unless you go out and sign like a big free agent, there's not a lot of spots where people are going to crack the lineup. The lineup is almost flushed out.
Yeah. Like there's I think we talked about this a little bit last week, but with the way things are going this season, like a lot of those spots are filling up pretty quickly with this team in the future. Like there's not, you know, among forward defensemen and net, like there's not even as many question marks in terms of who's going to fill the space. Now it's more of a question mark of, is this player going to continue developing like they've been developing since they've been here? So, and that,
go ahead. I think Bowman's going to have like itchy trigger fingers in the off season though, because I think that's how he felt the year before that when he was looking for defensemen, because he couldn't get the one he want. Like he really wanted a specific type, and instead he pulled the trigger on Mata. And then the DeHaan thing happened, and it, you know, we were like, well, you didn't need both of those guys realistically. Mm-hmm. So I think he's going to look at the depth of forward and young forwards and be like, could I get something different for them? Is he going to trade Nylander, or is he going to trade, is Suter going to be Cajon, you know, Cajon. Yes. Oh my God, I've already forgotten how to say his name.
Hey, if you can get anything for Nylander, go for it.
Well, I think he's going to look at forward depth, even if it's not necessarily all quality depth. I mean, lots of it is, but it's not necessarily all high quality. And he's going to go, this is expendable, the same way he thought Yukiharu was expendable. Yeah. Trigger fingers, I think, is going to be itchy for him.
Well, I think – I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Mel, because I just want to say I have a transition after you're done talking.
Cool. Yeah, just quick point. I think there has been a noticeable difference in Bowman since McDonough's been gone.
Ooh.
Slightly. And I know that he oversaw a lot of things that were done and had final say. I think it'll just be a really interesting offseason, this one, because obviously coming out of the shortened season and stuff too, with the money situation, with the cap, I don't really know what to expect, honestly.
Well, going back to Betsy's point about potentially expendable players, Nikita Zadorov. I think the four of us have made our opinions on him known through articles and this podcast and comment sections at our website. And I would say it is mostly in the non-approving category. And now I feel like Zadorov is a very polarizing player, and part of it is not his fault. Part of it is just he was the guy that was traded, or he was the other guy in the Brandon Saad trade. He's never going to be – just because of that, like he had such a high standard to live up to, and he was never going to be it. So this isn't all entirely his fault. However – I wanted to cite this report from the Athletic. I don't want to read it verbatim because there's stuff behind a paywall. So go read it because it's always good stuff and it's worth it. But there's talk about whether or not the Blackhawks or what the potential of resigning him is going to be like in the offseason. He is currently at $3.2 million. And as a 25-year-old defenseman playing as much as he does, he's probably going to want a raise. And this is where I feel like this one player is going to be the entire – this is going to tell you a lot about where this team is going in the next few years, because it seems like it's going to be really easy to overpay him if from the Blackhawks. The only way they're going to keep him is if they pay him more money than he's worth. I don't even think he's worth $3.2 million right now, and I think most of the people here are going to agree with me. So I guess the just – I don't think anybody here wants to resign him. So I don't know what your guys' reaction are to this, but I'm just terrified that they're going to screw their cap situation by giving him more money next season.
I mean, they're going to screw their success situation, but I just can't believe that they didn't get something from Boston or Winnipeg that they thought was good enough when you have to up that money. You know what I mean? Like just thinking about the money alone, not even trying to drill the guy, $4 million is going to be a steep price.
Connor Murphy's making 385.
and he's their best defenseman right now.
Yeah, and there's
yeah. And leading into that contract, Murphy was playing better. There are some people that try to like say, oh, well, Murphy wasn't doing that well with the Coyotes. So when he came over, you know, and then he struggled a little bit. And I was like, no, no, he was playing top four quality minutes over there. They just were a terrible team. And then he struggled a little bit getting into Q's system and his good graces. But by year two, he shut everybody up. Zadorov is not like that.
No. Okay.
His minute declined with the Avalanche.
And he just was, and he was just a healthy scratch. I can't think of a game where Connor Murphy has been healthy scratched. I might be wrong.
No, I think just for being hurt. Just for being hurt, not healthy. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I think it just comes down to, I think even the most ardent Zadorov supporters would have to say that he is at a minimum polarizing. And you cannot give, you can't give $3 million to a guy that's that polarizing, and he's already at 3-2. So I don't see any way you can possibly bring him back because he's going to ask for more money and more. And he hasn't earned it. And if for some reason he decides to take like 2.5, I mean, okay. But it's a value thing, and I don't think he's valued. And the other thing is, you've got Keith and Murphy, Kalanuk, Boquist, Mitchell, Bodan. There's six defensemen right there. This is assuming Calvin DeHaan's probably gone in some fashion in the offseason, whether expansion draft or whatever. And then now you have Riley Stillman in the mix. Like, you're running out of room. Someone's got to go, right?
Yeah, and I think, too, if you re-sign Zadorov, you got to look like it took Colleton a long time to scratch him, but if he's finally at the point where he scratched him, if they do get a different coach, or if Colleton does kind of start making those kind of decisions, what are you going to do giving more money to a guy who even Colleton's now like he's not giving enough?
Yeah,
it's kind of like, just like you said, just don't pay the money. We have guys, it's fine.
Yeah. You look at what's happened. I think a comparable situation is the Edmonton Oilers and Chris Russell, and they gave him a 4x4, I think. Don't be the Edmonton Oilers. Oh, that contract has limited them in terms of like how they can build around McDavid and Dreisaitl. And they can't win because they can't build around McDavid and Dreisaitl.
There's no situation where you want to be the Edmonton Oilers. Not this century.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Russell got 4x4. And he actually just signed in October. He signed a 1-year extension for next season at 1.25. So now he's at $4 million, and next season he goes down to 1.25. Oh boy, that's rough. But yeah, this is like the self-scouting thing with the Hawks that I think has been one area where outsiders have been critical of them, is that they don't always do the best job of evaluating their own talent. Like, they don't know what they have, or I think it's knowing what you have and knowing what you don't have in certain players, like knowing the ceiling of what you have in your locker room. And Zadorov's ceiling is not, it might not even be at a player worthy of a $3.2 million contract. It's certainly not any higher. So he's a restricted free agent. So the Hawks will own his rights, but just that's the one, that situation I think is the most, the biggest indicator for me of how things are going to go in the future, just because I don't see it. I don't see what others see with him. And yeah, it's kind of preaching to the choir with this group, but
yeah. I think you put it. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I'll say this. I think so. Looking at the expansion draft, because that's coming up, you have two spots for sure that you have to protect, and that's Murphy and Keith. And then you have one free because you probably can convince Brent Seabrook to waive his NMC when he's not playing hockey anymore. I don't think Zadorov is worthy of that spot.
Worthy of being spared from the expansion draft?
Yeah, worthy of being like, with, they have, the Blackhawks have a free spot because like the guys you mentioned, Kalanuk and Mitchell and Boquist and Bodan are all exempt.
Well, and I know that's, yeah. I think that's a speculation with Riley Stillman that they're going to get him 9 games, so he is eligible for the expansion draft.
I mean, I would protect him over Zadorov.
Well, that's,
I think they trade Zadorov before they let him get picked up by the expansion draft. I just don't know if you'd get more for him than you would have at this trade deadline. Like, no, I mean, I guess it depends, because there were some weird prices for some defenders. Some defenders got things I was like, why are you paying that? And then others I was like, why didn't you pay more? So I guess, yeah, exactly. So, but the Hawks could have eaten. Well, I guess they had to choose between that and Janmark. So, and Janmark is technically more valuable, I think.
Yeah. So, so we'll see. Cause I think that's going to be, that's high on my list of most interesting off season storylines to watch. Whenever that off season arrives, maybe it'll be in a month. Maybe it'll be in two more weeks after that. Who knows? But what we're going to do is take a quick time out here. We're going to come back on the other side, and we've got some questions from the Second City Hockey commenters to answer. There's one that I'm sure is going to lead to a hearty discussion about, and a lot of reminiscing by Mill and I, because we're the old men in the room. So come on back on the other side of this time out and listen for that.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack-It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4/3/2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back to Musings on Madison here on the Second City Hockey Podcast Network. As promised before the break, we wanted to respond to some of the questions we got from the Second City Hockey commenters. And one in particular, because it seemed like it would be a really fun question, and I feel like we can get a good lengthy discussion out of this. So from still Jim L23 wanted to know, if you could watch a game with one former Blackhawk player, who would it be? And I think so this question came in like 5-6 hours ago. I've been thinking about this all day and I'm still not sure. So I'm going to ask everyone to have like one probably joke answer and then maybe one serious answer. So whoever wants to go first. And we can't all say Dave Bolin. We've already discussed that. So
that'll be the group watch along.
I called dibs on him, so I can say him.
All right. Well, Betsy, since you spoke up, you can go first then.
Dave Bolin.
Okay.
I think he would shit talk the whole time. Like, I think if you get enough, like you get him some, like, you know, some alcohol, and he'd be fun to just chat with for a very long time. And he's not really a former one, but the same reason I would be like, hey, let's have beers with Shaw, you know, like Andrew Shaw. I'd be like, let's shoot the shit and just watch a game. Tell me everything you love and hate about everything that's happening. The players, people that used to be on that team, things that happened in the locker room, share all the dirty details. I need the gossip. I need them to be my personal gossip girl. Okay.
I feel like Andrew Shaw might be very forthcoming too.
Oh, for sure.
I think that's a good pick for like a player that might actually tell you some of the good stories.
I feel like all the rats would. Like anybody that was a rat at one point would be like, let me tell you. And as long as it's off the record, I don't think that they would, you know, you'd be like, you take this to your friends only and then to the grave. And I'm like, yes. Yeah. I would sign that pact.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Me literally getting buried in my Bolin jersey one day.
Yes.
Miller Shepherd, either one of you guys want to speak up?
I think my joke answer is probably Patrick Sharp, but just so I can look at him.
he is a very handsome man.
He's a very handsome man. And the serious answer is Joel Quenneville, because as one of the best coaches of all time, he's top two probably between him and Scotty Bowman. Like I just want to pick his brain and like have him explain like, okay, here's how like plays develop and stuff like them, like X's and O's, which is like the part of the game I don't get fully.
Yeah, I
also feel like he was a rat in his playing days, so he probably will tell the stories, because like the famous snow monkey story from what was that 24/7 Yeah, like he tells a good story.
Well, and then like within like 2 or 3 weeks after the Hawks firing him, he showed up at a Bears game doing shots in the parking lot with Bears fans.
Exactly. Joel Quenneville seems fun.
I'm confident he's, I mean, you know, he might be mellowed out a little bit in his older age, but I'm sure he could still knock back a few if he needed it to. Your liver may not be prepared to hang out with Joel Quenneville, but his would be.
Oh, yeah, I don't drink.
Oh, well, you might have to start if you're going to watch a game with Q. I'm still deciding, Mill, so you go.
Okay, so if I can, I'll give my serious one first. If this is officially an ex-Hawk, if this counts, I would say Seabrook.
Oh, yeah.
Reason being is he's played for 4 different coaches, obviously, and for the Hawks, and he can kind of break different things down and speak. You know, I'd have a lot of questions about a lot of different things. And also, he seems pretty cool. He likes baseball. He likes, obviously, hockey. He's, like, kind of a chill sports guy, so he likes to gamble. So it seems like my kind of guy.
I bet if you brought a kid with you, it would be even better because he will talk to any child. You know, like he will get down to their level and be awesome about it. So I
all right, well,
bring a small child with him. You can borrow my nephew. He's 13.
I don't have any kids right now. So I act like a small child, though.
And telling that story from personal experience, back to our Brent Seabrook reflection episode, there's a story behind that story. So
it's a good story. Good episode, too, actually.
That's what the people tell me.
And then my fun one would be me and Nikolai Hobby Bullen drinking each other under the table at the bottom lounge watching a game.
What are you drinking though?
I'll drink what he picks, but like I'm mostly like a tequila or like I like various beers, whiskey, whatever. But I feel like he's a vodka guy. Not really my thing, but I'll do a few Moscow mules with Hobby Bullen. I just feel like it'd be like a party. Like he seems like a huge drunk. And I'm not trying to like be mean, but like it just seemed like you'd have a great time with him watching the game, and then it'd just be like, okay, this game sucks. Let's pour some shots.
I mean, hockey players do not have a reputation for sobriety, so.
I was gonna say Ed Belfour, but if he drinks too much, he might beat me up.
Ed Belfour owns like a gin distillery.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's no joke, man. Like, he's the real. Like, he's rough.
All right, so. I think I finally settled on what I was looking for. My joke answer would be Corey Crawford, and we'd put the game on mute and listen to Rise Against the whole time because we know Corey Crawford enjoys himself some Rise Against.
Yes, sir.
But I think my serious answer, and I went back and forth on this several times, I think I'm picking Chris Versteeg because, A, he was around for two of the cups, and so he came to the team, left, and came back. He could definitely talk shit about the Canucks. Because I don't know how many people saw the clip of him just trashing Kevin Bieksa on Canadian TV on trade deadline day, which was wonderful because the Canucks are still taking L's from that time frame. And the other thing is with Versteeg, like he talked, like he did a lot of media stuff when he played. He's now in the media as a retired player. So I feel like he would, not only would he have good stories and would he talk shit about people, but I also feel like he might be able to shed some light on X's and O's and stuff like that better than other people would. Like one guy that came to mind first was Brandon Saad, but I don't think he says it. Like, he seems too quiet. It wouldn't be as entertaining. But Versteeg, I feel like I would need to get Versteeg to shut up at the end of it. So,
I mean, it'd be like watching a game with me, except he's more handsome and he's really actually good on TV. I watch him on TSN sometimes when the Oilers games are on.
I was actually waiting to see if he would make his way to Chicago at some point because he seems like he's doing very well for himself in Canada. And I mean, I'm sure Steve Conroy could use a vacation every now and then. So if Versteeg wanted to fill in for him, I'm here for it.
I have this picture I took when I used to letter jerseys. There's a roster on the wall where we did it so people could spell the names right and stuff. And someone had, this is when Roosevelt and when Versteeg came back, there's a huge sign. It says, remember, Versteeg is 23 now. Roosevelt is 32. And I just always thought, I was like, Versteeg comes back and has a different number and like wins the two cups on the end and not in the middle. What a bizarre player. Story.
Played for six, seven different teams. I'm sure
Toronto, he's Philly, got Calgary. Oh, I've seen Chris Versteeg's. Yeah, I've seen him score against the Hawks on 2 different teams live.
He's also the only Chicago athlete to score at Wrigley Field, Soldier Field, and United Center.
And he'll probably do it at the Cell eventually, somehow.
Never mind.
Love
it's weird Christmas that League. It's weird that there hasn't been a Cell outdoor game, right? They considering how many the Blackhawks are in.
They had a football game there, but not hockey yet. But I think the city of Chicago is probably tapped out of outdoor hockey games for a while. At least I think.
Yeah. I'm fine. Well, I'm considering the Blackhawks record in them. I'm fine with that. Yeah.
They'll make the Hawks play on the road somewhere in the next one. So the other questions we got from frequent SCH commenter BMAC, two questions related to Team USA hockey. And we're going to get to the second one first, and we're just going to throw it to Betsy and let her rant about this because I know she has thoughts on it. How far away from the team is Connor Murphy from being a Team USA defenseman?
Well, if they were smart, I think he'd be way up higher on the list than a lot of journalists and writers have been putting him, because I think he's better than a lot of other U.S. players. A lot of the young talent, especially for American players, are that they're fast, puck-moving, offensive guys. Several of them played defense very well, too, but like they're a go-forward kind of player. And Connor Murphy fills a role that is a little bit like a different taste. And I think he would balance out practically anyone else on the team that they could do. I think he's better than a lot of the people. Like, he's definitely better than Ryan Suter at this point. Like, come on. I take him over Carlson too, you know, like, and these are big names that people keep throwing out there.
I got to interject on that one, the Carlson one.
Carlson's only good offensively. Carlson's not great defensively.
But the way they build these teams, they don't care about that.
And this is going to sound like a hot take. It's really not, especially considering this season. I'd take Connor Murphy over Seth Jones.
I would too. I was just about to say that. I was like, I'm not sure I'd take Seth Jones.
After watching Seth Jones get roasted by Hinostroza the other night.
Seth Jones plays in Columbus. Nobody gives a shit there. Not even their coach.
But Zach Werenski is going to be a Team USA.
Zach Werenski deserves to be in it, to be on Team America.
He's a good – he's still playing well. Seth Jones has had 2 years in a row.
I think to Betsy's point, because I didn't mean to cut you off, but you're totally right. Like, they have asshats assemble these teams, and it's like – they don't really put them together the best they could.
Well,
yeah, it depends. It really depends on how much of Stan's ear Andrew Conte, who is the Blackhawks stats guy, has, and if he's American. If Andrew Conte is Canadian, it's over.
I don't think I get what you're saying about Bowman, but it's so political anymore. I don't think he's going to get exactly the roster he wants.
Probably. So Carlson's fine, but you could bring Hughes, you could bring Fox. I mean, There are other younger, better offensive defensemen that they could bring to the table. The only thing that, like, Carlson is bringing is offense and oldness. So,
isn't Makar American too, or is he just
he's Canadian?
Just go to college? He's Canadian and went to college. Weirdly, okay.
There's a lot of like Yan, you know, the guys that they're going to look at, like Yandel and Fowler and Falk and Anderson, and
they're not going to
Shattenkirk, you know, and Krug, McAvoy. They're going to look at all
naming.
Those guys.
Please stop
all,
naming
all these guys. All those names. Right now. All those names.
McAvoy is the only one.
McAvoy. Yeah.
Okay, McAvoy, but I'm not saying I want those guys on the team. I'm just saying, you guys, do you remember 2014?
Yeah, but I'm hoping that and like the World Cup made them realize, stop doing that. Stop. Just
bring your
best players.
Stan Bowman praises Nikita Zadorov regularly, so.
Yeah, but if Bowman had to just select the actual, like, if he could go, I want these exact defensemen, would Zadorov be in that group? I hope to God he wouldn't be. And I hope that there's nobody like that on I don't think there are that many American defenders that play that style and are recognizable enough.
Yeah, and like I'm sitting here Googling all these like projections, and Connor Murphy's not even like in the mix guy.
Oh, he's not. They're not. So I don't think he's going to be taken.
But, yeah, I don't think. I'm losing any hope.
I think Connor Murphy also doesn't benefit from like he's playing on a Blackhawks team that nobody cares about in the national media.
And well, the person in charge cares about this Blackhawks team.
And all that, like, yeah. They still talk about Duncan Keith like he's 25 and he's not anymore. Like every time there's a national broadcast of a Hawks game, Duncan Keith's the guy they lead with, not Connor Murphy. When they talk about
and again, I get the Bowman thing, but it becomes so political. It's like, I have no idea what he's going to throw together, but I feel for Connor Murphy. I don't think he gets recognized by Hawks fans, let alone NHL fans.
And he's got the Zadorov problem in that he was traded for Nicklas Hjalmarsson and he's not.
I think Connor Murphy suffers from that a lot more than Zadorov because
for sure.
Because Zadorov is like you said, he's so polarizing that there are people that really love him. And Saad has been traded already for the Panarin Saad, back and forth, all this stuff. So it's like, I think that people still see Murphy is that, which is a shame because he's great in his own right.
Connor Murphy is not Nicklas Hjalmarsson when he actually been pretty about what Hjalmarsson was. It's just there's not all the other pieces around Murphy that there were around Hjalmarsson. So,
yeah, I mean, it's a different game too, but it's just, I don't know. It's unfortunate, like you guys already know, people are just going to have biased opinions based on their love affairs with guys.
Murphy's going to be this iteration's version of Phil Kessel, a guy who should have gone but ends up golfing.
Yeah.
I really like Phil Kessel too, so that's not so bad. The other one was, where's Alex to bring it in the lineup? Because
he goes.
Well, he goes for sure now, and I think now the question is more of how high up in the lineup is he? Like, he may not be top line, because of Austin Matthews and Patrick Kane, and I don't know who the other
might play him with Kane.
Maybe you put him with Kane.
I was about to say, they should do what Canada does and play the teammates, because that's an ideal situation. They already know each other. That you have a short tournament. You might as well play the players that have the most familiarity, at least in the beginning, and then you can tweak it as much as you want. I mean, and then you can always shift Kane up a little bit if you want, but I would take DeBrincat over Goudreau right now.
If he's healthy, you know who would be a great center between them would be Jack Eichel.
Oh, for sure. It's Eichel, Larkin.
That'd be a sick line. Damn.
Well, fingers crossed that, I assume the Olympics by 2022 will be able to happen and the NHL players will go and everything will be good. I hope. Because I can tell you, it's a very much an anecdotal thing. So I can't say that this is indicative of hockey's popularity or anything, but in 2010 for that gold medal final with USA and Canada, I was at a B-dubs in central Indiana in college, and there's not a hockey rink within 50 miles of that area. And no one gave a shit about hockey down there, but on a random Saturday or Sunday afternoon, I was at that B-dubs and every single person in that bar watched USA Canada gold medal game. So the Olympics can get somebody's eyes. So, there's that. But I think that's enough hockey talk for one podcast. So I think we're going to talk about some food stuff, and it's Mill's turn this week. So Mill.
All right. So this is a two-way street. So hear me out, because it's not just an overrated or underrated thing. But
okay,
we talked about potatoes before, but yeah. I want to take this sort of in a different direction. So I think French fries with just salt or French fries with a dipping sauce, like ketchup or something, are completely overrated. However, I think we underappreciate how good they are when you season them with different things. I was going to say, how come I can't go to any fast food restaurant and be like, oh, I want my fries seasoned with this?
So what do you want your fries seasoned with then?
A go-to is I'll make something up with some garlic salt, some paprika, some cayenne pepper, black pepper.
Okay.
Just black pepper is actually really good. You can do some cumin if you want that kind of taste. There's all kinds of things you can do. You shake them up in a bag.
Okay. Shepard, were you about to reference Red Robin?
No, I was about to reference Five Guys.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, that's a good example. They kind of do that already.
Yeah.
But most places don't. If you go to Shoop's, you guys probably.
Yes.
Dave knows.
I just had Shoop's last Friday night and it was wonderful.
Yeah. If you get the bag of fries to go, it's in a big white paper bag. You can just put black pepper in there and shake it up, and it's already better.
So what? So the food take is that we're not doing fries correctly.
We're not utilizing all the possibilities, and it's I like cooking at home, but I wish I could go out and be like, oh, I want this flavor of fries, garlic fries. Like the garlic fries at the Cell, for example, are amazing, and the little helmet.
Sounds like you need to put some hot sauce in that bag, Swag.
Yep. And whatever you want to do, man. I mean, it's there's some total like astronomical things we're missing out on with fries. You can even, I like dipping them in a milkshake too.
I agree with this take. I would love to have more variety in fries. I don't need to go to just like Arby's for their fries. They're good. Any fry that's curled, I'll eat.
Yes. But that's because it's seasoned different.
Yeah, I know exactly. It's a different season when we do them.
Arby's, Shoops has like very similar tasting fries, curly fries to Arby's. And it's like, that's, you got to get the curly fries if you have them.
Yeah. Now I just want Cajun fries from Five Guys. You guys made me hungry.
All right. I'm telling you guys, you can make them at home.
I know you can, but I'm too lazy.
All right, Mill, I have a place for you. And this, it's a little bit of a drive. I'm aware of this because of the I'm Fat podcast that Jay Zawoski and Rick Camp from The Score do. If you don't listen to it, it's fantastic, by the way. But there's a place, it is in Villa Park, which is roughly western suburbs of Chicago. So it's like an hour from us. But it's called I Love Fries, F-R-Y-S. And it is just, I believe the entire menu is just concoctions based with French fries as the base. Like there's meat options, there's no meat options. I feel like this place might be in line with what you are looking for. Like they have, there's like a chili cheese fries, there's gyros fries, pork belly fries, and then you go down to the no meat options. There's cheese fries, elotes fries, salt and pepper fries, garlic butter fries, Irish curry fries.
This seems like a specialty, which is really cool. I think the general take is that I would just like to have maybe three or four or five options when you get fries at a place.
But then they couldn't mass produce them like they do now. So
they could, they just need to put like little cayenne shakers.
Yeah. If they literally are just like, hey, like what flavor fry? Cause that's what I'm saying is like the seasoning makes all the difference.
Okay.
But I do want to try this. You said it's I Love Fries with a Y-S?
F-R-Y-S. I'm
writing this down.
In Villa Park. If you ever find yourself up in the western suburbs, there's a place for you.
I will drive just for food, Dave.
Yeah. Very good. I think we do like another series of these shows. I think we're going to be able to open our own restaurant with our own. Just based off all these food takes, we'll be able to cultivate a menu.
That it's going to be called We Have Grit.
We will serve breakfast all day. Yes. We'll have breakfast all day. We'll have high quality grits. We'll have good French fries. We'll have
dessert.
We'll have dessert.
Dessert, but no milk chocolate.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a very specific menu, but we're going to have one.
And debatable on if I'm making grilled cheeses or just straight up sandwiches.
All right. There we go. Perfect. So whenever one of you guys gets the capital for that investment, let us know, okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Calling for a loan tonight.
All right. Let me know how that goes. I don't know if banks are open at 7 o'clock, but take a swing.
You got to know the right people, Dave.
All right. Well, Mill's definitely the money guy with lines like that. Mill knows it. So we're good. But I think that's going to do it for this episode of Musings on Madison. Thank you very much for listening. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at underscore Dave Melton. Mills at Mill182. Shepherd is at Shepherd Price. Betsy's not on Twitter, but she is at Second City Hockey under the name LBR, where you can find all her stuff, all Shepherd stuff, all Mills stuff, and all of my stuff related to the Blackhawks and Janelle stuff, too. It's all there, secondcityhockey.com. We'll have game recaps, previews, stuff on get days off, all that good stuff. Stay tuned to these airwaves. We'll have more podcasts coming for you. Rate, review, subscribe, follow, and then unsubscribe, and then resubscribe, and then refollow, and then make like three different IP addresses and leave 9 different reviews on all of them. you know, any support we can get, we much appreciate. Thanks to Mill, Betsy, and Shepard for hanging out. Thanks again for listening. And as always, go Hawks.